Hello and welcome to the Shropshire Star's Sunday Supplement. It's a weekly opportunity to take a look back at some of the headlines over the past 7 days and look at what's coming up over the next week. My name's Carl Jones and I'm joined in the studio today by our business editor Amy Bold and our sports editor Dave Ballinger. And I'm sure in the Ballinger household this week, A-levels haven't been far from your mind. They've been in the headlines this week and you're shortly going to be going through it all as a parent, aren't you?
12 months' time, I shall be on the edge of my seat waiting to discover how my eldest daughter has got on. She's just done AS levels this week, which was traumatic enough really, waiting for those to come through on Thursday. And 12 months time it'll be the full Monty.
It is quite stressful though. I can actually remember, in fact I was so disturbed by having to wait for mine that I spent 45 minutes on teletext and booked a holiday in Mallorca before I went to pick them up. But it is, I think it's really stressful for these kids, especially when you see some of the tears running down their faces on some of the pictures when they didn't get the results they were expected, and record numbers going through clearing and not enough university spaces. It just shows you what, it's not just the stress of picking up the results, it's what comes next.
Well, and also because the pass rate has increased pretty much every year for the past, what, 15, 20 years, the pressure on people that don't get their grades or don't pass is even worse than ever, isn't it?
Sure. We've also been told that there is more and more people applying to university, partly because of the state of the economy means
Absolutely.
There's not so many jobs out there. Therefore, people who've already gone through school and started work...
Yeah.
are all of a sudden saying, well, I haven't got a job, so I may as well apply to university. So therefore, they're taking up some of the university places that are on offer.
Although there is always Morrisons. Apparently, Morrisons takes mostly school leavers, and something like the makeup of 70% of the Morrisons board is people that came in at 16 and started on the shop floor and worked up.
That's the incentive, isn't it? It's interesting, because our feature writer, Ben Bentley, did a piece to coincide with the A-levels last week, suggesting that, you know, some students feel that university isn't quite as important as it used to be, because... there are fewer people that are actually going into higher level graduate jobs because they've got a university degree and they're coming out with £12,000-£13,000 of debt.
Well, I think some of the estimates about the debt that students are going to build up now is getting even higher than that. They're talking about £20,000-£25,000 worth of debt because of all the uncertainty over how that's going to be paid for under the coalition government.
And that, of course, can take quite a long time to recoup. Mm-hmm. In a higher level job as a graduate, which you're not guaranteed to get anyway.
Absolutely.
So,
nope.
Who'd be a parent, eh? Daft story of the week that I picked out was the sort of knee jerk reaction from the emergency services, who I don't know whether you saw, suggested earlier in the week that they might have to start fencing off the perimeter to the River Severn because so many people are feeling the urge to jump in and try and end it all.
Does that mean it's going to be barbed wire and beachy head, and all of England's coastline is going to suddenly have like those kind of big rock boulders on so you can't get in the sea?
Isn't it just another one of this political correctness gone mad, isn't it? Health and safety, because where do you stop? You know, we'll stop allowing people to cross. Exactly. We'll stop allowing people to climb the Longmynd, you know, in case
exactly.
they break their ankle
or
fall off the edge of Devil's Chair, Stiper Stones.
I suppose it's sort of understandable that questions are being asked after we've had a number of tragedies in the town over the last year or so, I think. But it does seem to be a bit far to actually fence the river off.
And if people are going to jump, they're going to jump off a fence. And the unfortunate thing is, if they're in the kind of state where they're not necessarily know what they're doing, then a fence isn't going to stop them anyway, unless they're going to stick barbed wire and make it 18 foot high.
Well, absolutely. You know, you've got to be in a pretty desperate state, haven't you, to do that? And you're not thinking rationally. So
exactly.
So I'm not entirely convinced that if that does happen, it will be successful. It remains to be seen. One of the big talking points in the Shropshire Star this week, as well as the River Severn, has been the re-emergence into the headlines of Crossroads Motel. Do we remember Crossroads? Of that era? Were you Crossroads fans?
I was far too young. I do remember a man called Benny with a hat on his head. Is that the same programme?
That's Paul Henry from Whitchurch, that is, isn't it? Yeah, he's one of our own.
I remember Benny. I do remember Crossroads vaguely, but that's about it.
I must admit to not being a particular fan of Crossroads. I am more of an era where you do remember that sort of thing. I do remember, however, that I'm originally from slightly down south in Cheltenham, and we were very proud at the time when they decided to film some of the exterior shots at a hotel in Cheltenham. But I understand that was replacing some previous shots taken in Shropshire.
At Walford near Bastchurch, isn't it? I mean, that's the reason it's been in the headlines this week, that apparently they want to bulldoze, in the name of progress, one of the buildings that used to double for the frontage of the Crossroads Motel. And it's interesting how the programme, when it was being aired, used to split people down the middle. They either loved it or loathed it. And the feedback we're getting now this week to our stories is exactly the same. Some people are saying, great that we're recognising the crossroads linked to Shropshire, and other people saying, new story, this isn't a new story.
Surely you can't bulldoze it though, because what happens when they want to resurrect it?
No. They won't do that.
They built the sets out of cardboard anyway, didn't they? So it didn't really matter. I don't think if they're waiting for English heritage status, it's not going to happen, is it? So now, next point to talk about, and the perfect two people in the studio to talk about it, with its link between sport and business, a story that we had in the Shropshire Star on Saturday suggesting that the Olympics has already brought over £22 million worth of benefits to Shropshire. Mm. And I guess those are just the ones we know about, so...
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the government's Compete For website has been trying to extend some of the opportunities offered by the Olympics to companies out of the M25 loop and the big organisations. But we have got Shropshire companies who are winning major contracts, like Golden Bear at Horton Wood, which has won the contract to make the mascots, and also like Tension Control Bolts, which is a Shropshire company, which has helped build the stadium. So I think it's only natural that there's going to be second and third tier suppliers and producers of those kind of goods that are going to help benefit.
And on the sports side, obviously we've got a few decent prospects, haven't we, for 2012?
Well, we've always, you know, you always hope that we will have some local medalists like we have done in the past, or even just some local competitors. I mean, famously in the last few years, of course, Alison Williamson from Church Stretton, who won bronze and in the archery, and hopefully she'll be competing again at 2012. And a bit further back in time, Dave Otley, of course, worked locally, I don't know whether he still does, at Telford.
I still think he works for Telford and Regional Council in his sports department. How about Beth Tweddle? Is she going to go, or is she going to be retired by then?
It looks like she's hoping to go, although she might not necessarily compete at all the events. She might only do floor and bars, I think it is, and obviously right. Two events at which she's actually world champion at the moment.
I'd have thought, even if you were a marginal to take part, the fact that it's your home Olympics in your country, probably for the only time in your lifetime, is probably going to persuade people to do...
You reckon I've got time to take up a sport and get really good at it in the next 18 months?
Until from my point of view, until snooker becomes an Olympic sport, or back-to-back football game watching. You know, I'm
pretty good at that. You're pretty good at that, are you?
I can talk a good game. Yeah, I can talk a good game.
I fear that most of the athletes who will be appearing at 2012 were identified quite a long time ago. Even the younger ones. I know we've got I think they're called judokas. A couple of judo players, I suppose, is the best word I can think of for them. In girls called Gemma Howell and Sarah Adlington, who both look like they could well be there, but they were identified 2 or 3 years ago. And have been training intensely ever since.
We're a bit of a hotbed for judo, aren't we? We've got a big, decent track record, haven't we?
It's very bizarre. I think it's possibly something to do with the local coaching, or I forgot to mention Kelly Edwards. She's another one who've all come through roughly at the same time. It's just been brilliant for us, really, you know, to be able to follow their path, and hopefully they will be competing at 2012.
It does just go to show, doesn't it, that these people that say, "Oh, the Olympics is just for London, is not for the regions." You know, obviously we are getting some benefit from it, aren't we? And Shropshire being a relatively sparsely populated county, well, you know, we can't really complain at what's coming so far.
And don't forget the Olympic heritage at Muchwenlock.
Well, we wait to see just how much they're going to be cashing in on that, don't we, really? Our good old Wenlock, the Olympian mascot, is already putting the town on the map, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Now, just rounding off the sport theme this week, we can't really let this podcast go without talking about our Football 24/7 supplement, which has been probably one of the biggest innovations that we've had on the supplement front for quite some time. The new Monday supplement, which made its debut last week, and it's been pretty well received, Dave, hasn't it?
Very well received. I've had plenty of letters and comments come our way that it was nice to see such good coverage of the start of the new football season in the paper. Obviously, with us majoring on Shrewsbury Town, Telford United, how they're getting on in the start of their new seasons.
Can you give us a sneak preview of what's in tomorrow then? Have we got Big Ron again?
It's Monday, tomorrow, Big Ron will be there. He's going to be there every week talking about all issues football, really. Whatever's happened over the weekend, I'm sure he'll be commenting on that. And then we also have one of the Midlands' leading football writers, Martin Swain, who will give his views and opinions as well, together with the full reports and detailed analysis of all the big games over the weekend.
And of course we want people's opinions, don't we? We want to know who they think the man of the match was at the local game. We want to know what their views are on what we're saying, don't we?
Absolutely. They might not agree with what we say, But if they don't, let us know.
Excellent. And of course, as a result, the business supplement, which used to be on a Monday, has moved to a Tuesday. So
it has.
What have you got in store for us this week?
And it's got bigger. I've got a Newtown company, which is a Newtown manufacturing company, which is winning contracts all over the place, which is absolutely superb. You consider we're coming out of a recession. What else have we got? We've got our usual look at commercial property. We've got our look at legal and finance, and hopefully lots more.
Excellent. Well, also just coming up next week, tomorrow, we'll be talking to John Challis of Only Fools and Horses fame to find out why he's taking to the stage at Ludlow Assembly Rooms this weekend. And we'll have a big full roundup of pictures, video and news from the V Festival, including how our super fan Vanessa Woodhouse got on when she was given an Access All Areas VIP pass. So plenty to look forward to in the Shropshire Star next week. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you again soon.